This is Marketplace. I'm Kimberly Adams. At the top of the show, we heard how worker productivity has increased and how the rise in the cost of labor has slowed. Both of these, according to economists, are signs of a stabilizing economy. But like many experts, economists don't agree on everything. And lately, what's going on in this economy has sparked quite the debate. The fight is over something called the beverage curve, and it looks at the relationship between employment and job openings. Inda Curran recently wrote about this model for Bloomberg. Inda, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Kimberly.
For listeners who don't know, and many of us who probably don't know, what is the beverage curve?
The beverage curve is an academic theory that essentially looks at the relationship between job vacancies in the economy and the unemployment rate. And the correlation is simple. Basically, the higher the vacancies, the higher the unemployment rate, and vice versa. And it was a study that economists have debated a lot during the pandemic and post-pandemic years to understand what is happening with inflation and what is happening with unemployment.
How do economists usually deploy the beverage curve, and why is that giving them troubles now?
Well, the central thinking during the inflation crisis of the past few years was that you cannot have inflation coming down without a big hit to the jobs market. So the point is unemployment would have to soar in order to get inflation down. And the beverage curve was at the center of that debate. There was another group of economists who said, you know what, this time feels a little bit different. You don't have to have that big painful hit to employment without bringing inflation down, because the reasons are mostly on the supply side of the economy. We'll say shortage of goods and the like. And that's why inflation can come down without hitting workers. Where we are now, it's proving that the latter camp was broadly right. Inflation has come a long way back and the unemployment rate has remained low, which is quite an outcome.
Step back and give me an economics 101 lesson as simply as you can. Why is it just the assumption that to bring inflation down, you have to lose jobs, maybe even to the point of a recession?
I guess it's born by past experience, Kimberly, to some extent. In past inflation crises, a lot of it has been driven, say, by wage demands. So workers have looked for higher wages because prices of goods are going up, and that creates this circle whereby inflation continues to spiral. But there's now a school of thought saying, wait a minute, when you look back at what's happened over the past few years, there were a lot of factors at play here, including a supply side crunch, which basically means shortages of goods, shortages of services, shortages of people. And when some of those supply problems were unwound and unknotted, it meant that inflation could cool without people losing their jobs. And that's more or less where we are now. The jury remains out in terms of what has caused the inflation crisis. But one thread that's become evident is that people didn't have to lose their job for inflation to come down.
So just to give a concrete example of that, make sure that I understand. Like, I was looking for a new dishwasher during the pandemic, and because of the supply side issues, not only was it really expensive, but I could barely get one. And so the price of that dishwasher was high. That's going to lead to higher inflation in the dishwasher category. But now that those supply chain issues have been resolved, that price can go down without really affecting anybody's job along the way.
That's exactly part of it. This idea that goods and services that you wanted, you couldn't get, demand was high, so prices could go high. As those supply problems have become unwound, the flow of goods and services has helped offset inflation pressures. It is important to remember, though, that if prices still do remain higher than they were, say, 2 or 3 years ago, that price margin that came along during the inflation crisis, that's still very much in the system.
What kind of precedent is there for this sort of well-established economic theory like the beverage curve sort of really getting challenged in this way?
I think this has been a fairly unique economic debate. The economy has been pretty complicated over the past few years, difficult to understand, and has defied a lot of the norms and understood kind of textbook practices like you mentioned. You know, now, as I say, it's becoming clearer that there are a lot of different factors at play. And that's why there's been such a pronounced debate and at times a fairly testy debate over what's caused inflation and how would you get inflation under control. You know, this was a once in a century pandemic. This requires a once in a century way of thinking about how it impacts the economy. And a lot of people will put their hands up and say, we didn't understand it. We got it wrong. We need to think about how we get this right the next time.
Inda Curran is a reporter at Bloomberg, writing about the beverage curve. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Kimberly.